Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
It's beef, it's brethren, it is cold served. I'm regretting breaking it down.
No,
you know what?
We loved every second of that. So this is, not necessarily for the right reason, but we loved it. This is an episode where we deal with your flat-based beefs. And if you've got a problem you'd like to send in to us, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Send it in today and you could find yourself on the pod.
Everyone's got something.
A little tickle at the back of the mind.
We can sort it out.
Share situation. Everyone's got something. There's always
everyone's
a bit of sand in the vaseline.
A little bit of something, guys.
That's my beef. My wife keeps putting sand in
that. That is a shame. Yeah.
Adds to the chafe.
Which, by the way, is your favourite ITV game show, isn't it? The chafe.
instead of answering questions to get at that little ramp thing, I just run up and down it. Paul Sinner watches on. And Bradley Walsh kind of goes, go on.
That's a fantastic Bradley Walsh impersonation. He is an old Irishman. He's a 78-year-old Irishman.
In my head, he was dressed as a jockey. I think that's what happened there.
Is he riding you?
It turned into like a weird fever dream.
That's not a bad idea for a TV show. I think Brad, as knowing his track record, will be up for it. He rides...
Well, his track record as a jockey.
As a jockey, yeah. As a flat jockey. He hops on the back of a variety of different celebs.
Chafers.
Rides them round.
Rides them ragged until they're raw.
It's not a bad...
We examine the chafes.
Oh, dear. Ooh, think of this, the cinema.
okay, well, anyway.
We should just very quickly say we've got a few more Flatshare slam downs coming up next month.
Is proving to be a vintage year of flat slams.
Yeah, it's been really fun so far, hasn't it?
Having a wonderful time, yeah.
It's been great. We've had, I'm sure you've heard the episodes already, but we've had great fun with our episodes we've been recording over at the Phoenix. We've got one more that we have recorded that you're gonna hear next month, but we've also got two more recordings in April. So if you're in London, the Phoenix is where we're doing them, April 4th and 5th. No guests booked as yet, but we'll get that sorted pretty soon.
They're always amazing as well.
They're always fun. I mean, We always have great guests. We always have a great time.
We've got to record outside of London in the Macunthorpe Comedy Festival.
Yes, MacFest. We're going to be there. Yeah, right at the... We're on Saturday the 30th, I think it is. Saturday the 30th. All the details for that will be in the show notes of the show. But if you go to macfest.co.uk, I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah, sounds about right, doesn't it? And get your tickets today. We've got a great guest today. A really brilliant guest. We had such a good time chatting to her. It's Christina Martin. You may have seen her on the stand-up circuit a few years ago. You may have seen her writing in Viz. You may even have had to contact her as a member of the council. But there's many, many strings to her bow. But she's a dear friend of ours and she was a great guest. And I think you're going to enjoy this episode. We really get into it. If you enjoy Christina and you'd like to hear more, then join the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Get yourself over there. And for £4, a mere £4 a month, you get a ton of bonus episodes, a new one every week, plus an extra bonus beef not included in this podcast that we recorded just for those guys over at the Patreon. So hop on board today.
Enjoy the pod.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
So So thanks for coming on the pod.
Thank you for having me, man. It's great to see you all.
It's really nice to see you. Tom, you really groaned into that, by the way.
It's such a treat. I get that a lot.
We were gigging together, what now must have been 10
plus years ago. Because I know when I stopped, 2010, bang, nice round number. I picked it out of the air and just went, stop. And now it's 2022.
Obviously, you used to do stand-up back in the day with
Who
us.
Didn't? Who didn't?
Everyone used to do stand-up, right?
Childhood thing.
You write for Viz as well. People may have seen your writing in Viz.
Yes, I get this weird thing every 6 months where someone tweets me and go, are you Christina Martin? And I go, well, yeah, but what do you mean?
What do you want from me?
And then they go, Viz. And I'm like, oh, yeah. that small level of known.
But you have you have quite an quite an unusual job, would you say it's unusual?
I think it's unusual in that people don't know much about it, but it's sadly usual because obviously people die all the time, and so yeah, it's going on every day behind closed doors. I work at the council, and I do, in addition to a random selection of things like environmental health, so I'll be taking phone calls about rogue peacocks, and there was recently a good one. An email landed in the inbox with the title was Accident at the Llama Farm.
Great album.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that sounds like Bowie when he was in Stella Street, like something he'd say as he walked along. And then we improvised a line in the office. So what's the matter, Miss Alpaca. So we have a lot of fun, as you can tell. So yeah, I'm doing this sort of stuff, like everyday admin stuff to do with environmental health. But then sometimes if people die in our area without any money or any family to do their funeral, we will step up and I will pop into their house, have a quick look around if they're no next of kin, to search for any family or friends, or if I don't find anyone, to find some suitable stuff about them, their personality, their music tastes, so we can choose some songs for the eulogy and the service. And yeah, and then we do their funeral for them. It's a really strange admin / big life thing. Yeah, crossing over paperwork and life.
But it's also a little bit like Through the Keyhole.
Yes, very much. And I do sort of walk around the keyhole saying, ooh,
back
to the studio.
Paperwork and life are quite a good way of describing Beef Brothers as well, in some ways.
Yeah. Bit of
an occasional
about
death. Life. Yeah.
Yes. When did you know that 2010 was going to be the year you were going to stop? Was it like you looked ahead in the calendars and thought, that's a good-looking year to stop?
I chose my last gig, and it was in the beginning of 2010, I think. So, yeah, I was back end of 2009. I was like, let's wind this down and choose my last gig. And I chose Josie's Lost Treasures, which is a great way to go out.
Brilliant.
Unfortunately, I think our last gig chose us.
Sometimes they choose you, sometimes you choose them.
You went out on your own terms.
Yeah. This is it. I sort of just fell on my sword, just leaned on it, didn't even fall on it, just slowly leaned on it.
The audience sort of fought their own swords for us.
Sharpened the mic stand and off you went.
And I didn't even do like my set. I just did stuff on Peter Simon on when he was on BID TV, because it was about heroes, unsung heroes. So I thought,
You were obsessed with Peter Simon, weren't you?
People that talk on their own to themselves all night on live TV. Those are my unsung heroes. You know, just talking to themselves effectively. Talking themselves into a knot.
Yeah. Would you ever do it at home? Would you ever like pick up a sort of pepper pot and go, oh, I'm going to chat about this and see how long I can do.
See just how long I can reach this. Yeah, it's a good writing exercise, actually, Matthew.
look into the microwave and imagine it's a camera and just talk.
Fewer! Yeah. I don't think I could get his way of talking. It's absolutely rambling tone. You can't even mock it up yourself. I had to print off all these things I tweeted of his, because it's not, you can't replicate it. It's like,
is he still going strong?
Yeah. Every time you turn on, he's still in a bed, or he's on a vibrating plate now. He's just standing on a vibroplate going, viewer, it shakes you. And it exercises your bum, and then you see his bum close up shaking.
That's just producers saying to themselves, what can we get him to do tonight?
I've seen him hanging upside down before.
Yeah, he's going to talk all night. Wouldn't it be great if we could get him on one of those shaky plates?
Oh, I found he blocked me randomly. I don't know why. And it's so ironic if I am blocked on purpose, because I've got a photo of him, like an autographed photo that says, keep tweeting. Aww. Which is what keeps me going. Whenever I think, I won't tweet
tweeting
today.
Just not at me.
Just not me, ever.
And I'm not going to read any of the tweets.
Somewhere else.
Tweeting brackets other people.
Might have just been a kind of, I don't know, if I'm reading the tone wrong, it could have been keep tweeting, yeah.
Yeah, go on, see what fucking happens, mate.
I won't care. Talk to yourself, love. That's what you're doing.
Is this your second book? Is your second book going to be a history of BID TV?
BID TV, and also probably Quiz Call, you know, the ones where you had to do a quiz. And
have you ever called into Quiz Call?
I very nearly called, but I stopped myself.
So you really are just a lurker on these
really
channels.
I'm the worst kind of lurker.
I wonder they blocked you.
Yeah, I'm
just
really
ignore
awful,
us. You're never going to buy anything.
I'm hearing why I'm being blocked now as I speak. It's like going to therapy and like learning about yourself.
A lot of people say that about our podcast. It's not comedy, but it feels a bit like therapy, actually.
It sort of helps me release a few things.
So what is your... We know you have a lot of late nights and you stay up and you drink a lot and you watch BID TV.
Sounding good, isn't it? So far for your...
Yeah, what's your flat share setup? Do you live on your own? Do you live with someone else?
I'm currently moving into my own place.
Are you?
So I'll be solo. But yeah, at the moment I'm sort of knocking about the house as it gets packed up and moved on.
Right, so we're catching at the end of an era.
Yeah,
old place, old place, new place. How much stuff is still left to pack up? When are you moving?
I'm not sorted out yet, but I've sold so much stuff on eBay and I gave loads away. I had this mad time during lockdown where I just gave stuff away. I just tweet, who wants this?
Yeah, you sent me the Bruce McCullough book. I loved it.
I did. Oh, isn't it a beautiful book? And
it's a great
poem
book, yeah.
About breathe in, you know, when you miss someone, just breathe in. And he talks about you breathing the same air as the Beastie Boys and, you know, Jesus. And
yeah.
So beautiful. Wow. And he tweeted recently that he's got a typewriter that Tom Green gave him and he likes to write funny little poems on the typewriter my friend Tom Green got me. And I was like, I love everything about this tweet.
Yeah.
Do you think breathing in the same air as the Beastie Boys might be a bit smelly? It feels like going into a dressing room and being like, yeah, no, sorry, the Beastie Boys were in here last night. Yeah. Sorry, we're still...
This is sabotage.
Crack a window.
Crack a window. Shall we do some beefs? I feel like we've got some good ones. We've got some weird ones. And the one that Parry's going to do is especially odd. Have you got it there, Parry?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of teased it to me in the subject of the email. You said, admittedly, this is quite weird. So I've deliberately held off reading it.
Oh, this is a cold reading from Parry here. Great.
We're seeing the actual reaction at
time. So beef naan from Mark via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Dear Pappies, I've got a beef naan for you if you're interested. Nothing to do with Indian food. I just enjoyed the pun. So... is that the weird bit?
No, you wish, mate. You absolutely wish.
My nan and my mum are not getting on. Nan is notorious for making plans and then cancelling at the last minute. She will arrange for us to visit her in Northampton, bigging it up by saying she's cooked a salmon. We will then all arrange our lives around visiting my nan, and then she will cancel at the last minute. She will also frequently get pissed on gin and then leave voicemails slagging off members of the family. The cancelling plans thing can be a real pain in the arse, but to be honest, the voicemails are quite fun. And I usually agree with my nan as they are frequently about my brother-in-law. Good stuff. Me and my sister shrug this all off and love our nan anyway, but my mom is really upset about it. It was my nan's birthday at the weekend, so the family went to the local spiritualist church to visit her, as my nan's been dead for 3 years now. Okay.
Yeah. No one was expecting that, were they?
There's the twist.
There's the twist.
Well, one of the twists, yeah.
My sister and I were delighted when the medium managed to contact not only my nan, but my granddad too. My nan and granddad had loving and supportive messages for both of us, and it's great to know they're still around. My mum, however, was not as happy. She, in fact, started an argument with my nan for being an unreliable drunk, and my granddad for always taking my nan's side via the medium of the medium, who is getting pretty anxious at this point, as she's probably not used to getting heckled.
You tell her, right?
The medium said to my mom, "They want you to know that they're happy up there and doing fine." To which my mum replied, "That's fucking typical. I want an apology, and their response is they're fine. Well, they can fuck off, the pair of them."
Oh, wow.
"I consider myself an agnostic, and I'm not sure what I believe. Either way, I don't think it's healthy for my mom to be holding on to this resentment. I look forward to your prompt reconciliation. Kind regards, Mark."
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Is this
our first beef that goes into the after? We've never had an afterlife beef before.
A beef beyond the grave.
They're unusual. Yeah.
Well, it isn't a beef.
It's sorted out.
It's not a beef from beyond the grave, really, in that Mark's alive.
What?
He's alive.
Another twist.
I'm sorry. I didn't finish reading. "Kind regards, Mark. Sent through my medium," it says.
"Sent by my iPhone from the afterlife."
"Sent through my medium's iPhone."
I've got hung up on the salmon. All I can think about is salmon.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? She says, I've cooked a salmon. Past tense.
She's gonna be off by the time
I've cooked
you
a salmon. Everybody come round. Everyone come to Northampton. I would say if someone's cooked a salmon, it doesn't matter if you're a couple of villages along. By the time you get to Northampton, that salmon's no good.
You
right?
need to be there at the time of the preparation.
Time of cooking, yeah.
Yeah, really. So it's just mutes, you know, there's no problem yeah. there. It's just all salmon confusion.
Salmon have to be eaten right there, right then.
Well, I would say don't cook it and then make plans to invite people around to eat it.
Yeah, make plans first, cook salmon later.
I think that's it.
The order of those things.
The old saying.
Well, that's what I always say. I say it all the time. Every day, once a day.
I've got a suggestion here for Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I think what it seems like the mom was looking for was a bit of back and forth to achieve this sense of that something's been put to bed.
Yeah.
Right? So if I was Mark, I'd consider going back to the medium, slipping them 50 quid.
Yeah.
And saying, look, give it a bit of this next time.
And do a voice.
Yeah, like say this sort of thing.
Drop in,
I've cooked the salmon. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, be like, well, you didn't come round even when I cooked the salmon. And like, you know, like stick in some stuff like that.
And like Kieran O'Keefe did with Derek and Cora, feed them.
Exactly. Then when the mom comes back, then so let's go back another time. Let's see what's going on. And then rather than saying they're fine, she's saying a bit of the nan stuff and giving a moan and have a slag off of the brother-in-law. And then the mother can kind of have a bit of a ding-dong and it'll feel like she's, you know, wrestled with her demons and she'll leave at peace. That's what I'd go for.
I think you're right there, because I think what most psychic mediums are sort of offering is peace for the living, isn't it? Sort of mental peace for the living. But this is the one time
for cold hard cash.
For all of your money, yeah. But in this instance, this is someone who just misses the argy bargy of having a relatively don't go with
thing where she does, you know, when she kissed that Demi Moore, Whoopi Goldberg, could they have like a physical fight?
It's 50 quid, beat the shit out of my mum. Is that what you're saying to her?
Or have a kiss. Cook a salmon. Cook a salmon and hit him with it. Hit him with salmon.
Or that'd be good. If the medium just sets up a meeting and then cancels at the last minute.
Oh,
they don't have to spend any money, and that'll pretty much.
And it'll be in keeping with their experience.
I mean, that would have been the best thing, wouldn't it? Is if they sit down with the medium and the medium says, right, she's coming, she's going to be with me now. Oh, no, she isn't.
She sent an email.
She's cancelled, actually. Sorry. She can't make it. But by the way, tell Steve to get his life together and get a proper job because he's married to her. Like, it's like
cold fish, anyone?
Do any of us believe in mediums. Christina, are you, do you believe in that kind of cobblers?
I don't think so. No. I've sort of had stuff told to me, but I was too young to verify, you know? Like, I was told that I identified a ghost of someone who died that morning when I was on a swing, like a creepy child. But I don't remember that, so I can't verify that. I was on a swing and my dad went, "What are you looking at?" And I went, "I'm waving at Tessa." And he went, "Who's Tessa?" I went, "Oh, I don't know, she's died." And then when we got to the hospital, my mum said that my nan's neighbour Tessa had died. But who knows what osmosis I might have been picking up from my nan.
Wait, hang on.
That's an amazing story.
I don't believe it. I was apparently there, and I don't believe it. I think that's my parents using it up for drama, because I've seen them do that since, so I know what they're like. They like a story.
Had Tessa died falling down a hill? Had you actually seen the death?
No, she was swinging at me.
Help me!
A swing clocked her in the head, actually, is what happened.
There's a woman in there. She's going blue. I had a psychic come into a house I was searching, because I do house searches in my job. And I was looking for the guy's will. It was the only thing that we'd not got, and we needed it, and we knew it existed. And I was climbing through it, because once his wife had died, he piled all the furniture in the house up against one wall so he could make model railways with the whole, like, back downstairs. So there's a big model railway running around.
Finally, I've got the space.
She's gone. I had to climb through and under and over and take things out and move cupboards. And just as I was about to get my hands on the will, the next door neighbour came around with her sister, who she said was psychic. And the sister said, I sense he's getting annoyed with you. I sense you're looking for something and you can't find it, and he's getting annoyed with you. And it's like, that would be really impressive if I hadn't told your sister half an hour ago that I was looking for his will and I couldn't find it. I've got chills. Other than that, I've got chills, I'll tell you. And then I found it and went, "Is he happy now? Can you verify?" But I do get the spooks. I do feel like people are behind me. That's just the natural feeling of being in someone's house, isn't it? They're in the walls, yeah, and you're an intruder. But yeah, that was funny. It's like, oh, very good. Yes. Yeah, impressive.
When you were climbing through all the furniture that was, like, piled up against one wall, were you tempted to sing any songs from Les Mis? Because just be singing One Day More as I clamber up and sit on a high chair.
That's such a theatrical scene. Yeah.
I was thinking more of reenacting the Wallace and Gromit bit where Gromit's going round on the train track.
Laying out the tracks in front of him, yeah.
You perched on a little train going round looking for this will.
It was so magical, that house. It was just like that. It was like a toy shop. It was brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Have we solved the beef? I realised we stopped talking about it. But,
I mean, yes. I think the reason we stopped talking about it is the beef has been sort of solved by death. And I think we decided that the paying off the medium.
Yeah.
And maybe having a Whoopi Goldberg kiss or fist fight or both would be the closure they need.
It'll be interesting to see if there's some kind of medium's code, because I bet mediums get that all the time. I bet someone sidles up to a medium and says, "Look, tell her you've spoken to her and she's fine."
Yeah.
Whether mediums are like, "Okay," or they'll go, "No, we don't do that."
I feel like that's the deal with mediums anyway, though, isn't it? Do you think there's mediums out there going, "Oh,
she's not getting anything.
She's not fine at all.
she's gone to hell, actually.
She's in hell. No. She's struggling.
Oh, eternal damnation she's facing. It's really hot."
That's clearly what the mum wants.
The mum would be delighted. The mum would be like, "Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Have an extra 50.
See if you cook a fucking salmon down there. Rotisserie salmon, anyone?"
Oh, beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Can open a beef. So straight away, it's got you by the balls.
I'm not going anywhere.
What's going on
here? Here we go.
Can open a beef.
I don't want to can open it anywhere near my balls, if that's okay.
Avoid it.
That's my thing, actually.
Of course, you forgot about that.
Is this from you?
You're banned from Lakeland.
Can open a beef from anon via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. That's quite pleasing, that flow of that sentence. Ooh, hey, guys. I would whack on about how much I love the podcast, in brackets, which I do, and how hilarious you are, in brackets, which you are.
Oh.
But I'll cut to the chase. I like that. That is because they've done it anyway. You know, yeah, I see what they've done there.
Clever, though.
I moved in with a stranger. Let's go straight in. Done the small talk. I moved in with a stranger, though we both moved in at the same time. We really got on, and off we went to IKEA to kit out the house. She was a student, so I footed the £400 bill.
Ooh, he doesn't mind splashing it around. He likes to tell people. Oh, he'll pick up the tab, but he's not going to stop talking about it.
I wonder if they had the meatballs as well, in that, and that's included in that. She paid me back for the stuff that was going into her room, brackets, about 50 quid. But I paid for all the communal stuff, kitchen, lamps, etc. Mm-hmm. We were living in London, but I was working in Oxford, a 2-hour commute away. After 6 months of 5 a.m. wake-ups for a 4-hour round trip to work every day, leading to me falling asleep in a one-to-one meeting with my boss, I decided to move to Oxford.
Of course.
She found a tenant to replace me and asked me to move out before my new lease started. She asked me to pay her for my half of the quarter of the year. That's a very involved sentence. My half, half of the quarter of the year of the TV license.
What?
Whoa! Leave it at that point. I don't even know what's going on.
One of them's travelling at 30 miles an hour. The other one's travelling at 12.
One's going to Oxford. The other one's staying in London.
Which one arrives first at the bus station? So since I had chosen to leave, yeah, so it's his fault. He has to pay the quarter of the year of the TV license. Mm-hmm. Then got in touch about further nitpicking bills, which I paid. The final straw was when she told me I had taken a can opener. Here we go. We've hit the motherlode.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah. Do you know what's delightful?
Keep it in your pants.
What's delightful is I'd forgotten the title by this point. So engrossed was I in the story.
We're so far through a story, yeah.
Can opener arrives, like a callback, and it's like, of course, it's going to come down to a fucking can opener.
All of that, and then a can opener on top. So she told me I had taken a can opener and gave me the option of posting it back.
Oh, la la.
More than the value of the £1.50 can opener, or give her the money for it. I told her I would happily give her back the £1.50, but she would have to give me back 200 quid for all the stuff from IKEA that I bought and left behind.
Oh, she was waiting. He had that.
Sounds like he's solving his own beef there, really. But negotiations. I understand being a skint student. We've all been there. But then it has to go both ways. You're either tight and fastidiously pay your share, or loosey-goosey. I love that. Loosey-goosey. Yeah. You can't shirk your bills, but then ask for £1.50 for a fucking can opener. It really ends on a bosh. Yeah. Love, Anonymous, if that's even their real name.
Just to say, not that it matters, but just not to misgender Anonymous. Anonymous is female. Don't think that changes the beef in any way, but it's
that is,
and I don't think that gives away. That doesn't narrow it down, does it?
No, that's a lot of people.
I'm not broaching the trust of the of Anonymous there.
Listen, mate, you know we've got two listeners.
I've worked it out.
50-50 shot now. Yes. So.
Okay. Right.
Theories.
Wow.
I mean,
first thoughts for me are most cans now come with a little ring pull. I don't think I've used a can opener for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Who needs a can opener?
When I have, they're shit these days.
They're awful.
Yeah.
Can openers have gone to shit because they know they're not needed anymore. So
they've,
yeah, really,
they've given up.
The
that's interesting.
My last two can openers have been awful. They've been dog shit.
I'm glad this came up.
It's like clocks in public. You look at a clock in public nowadays, none of them are telling the fucking right time. They've all given up because they know everyone's looking at their phones. And it's like, you find me a clock tower that's still pulling its weight. They've given up. I was going to say clocked off, and I thought it might be a bit on the nose.
Don't worry. One of us will always fill in the gaps.
I think it's a similar thing with can openers, I truly believe. I think if you're a can opener operator, manufacturer.
Operator.
Go door to door. Any cans you want opening, Gov?
like the knife sharpener used to come round, you know, with his grinding wheel.
But yeah, I peel my cans open now. So yeah, the last time I use a can opener, yeah, exactly. And it's a nice pleasing action, isn't it? As well, so it's a bonus. Yeah. But last time I used one was about 3 years ago, and it was on because tuna cans haven't caught up in all ways, have they?
Yes, yeah. That's what I was going to say. That's the only can.
The only thing hanging on for can openers is the tuna, unless you go really expensive, John. I was about to say John Lewis. It's not. It's John West. Yeah. John West, in some sort of salted caramel brine. They have the can opener.
Never knowing you under pole course.
But yeah, I used one on a tin of cheap tuna, and I, you know, it shears away the metal, so it's all like sharp. Yeah. And I cut my finger so deeply, I had to go to A&E.
Oh shit.
I would say send her the fucking thing and a cheap tin of tuna, and then let nature take its course.
I've got to ask the question then. How do you open your cans? Because there are two methods, aren't there? There's the sort of biting the tooth through the top of it, and then sort of cutting a bit out the top, or they're shearing off the entire top, biting the tooth through the side.
Side on.
Because that's how you're cutting your hand. I'm
getting trouble.
I'm top down. I'm top down, and then
all day long.
I wish I'd known this.
You do see these people who are side on. Parry, deciding vote here.
I'm top down, but I had to try and resort to side on because of this malfunctioning tin opener.
That's it. Some of them force you to be side on, and then you're in danger, and they put you in danger. Yeah. Did you see on Rip Off Britain? Because they often have really.
Of course we didn't.
Sorry, once again, my televisual experience is a very niche.
Tell me you've got Christina Martin on the podcast without telling me you've got Christina Martin on the podcast. I think that's what happened there.
I'm four in a bed. Anyway,
this is me. Get together and get a Netflix.
No, please, someone, get me Apple TV. I was watching one episode because I really like all their really non-stories, and they have sometimes they have a man looking at a Twix with a magnifying glass to demonstrate that he's upset that it's smaller than it was, or they'll have a man going sadly to his fridge and shaking his head at his orange juice because it's less orange juice in it. But they had one guy who couldn't open his Fray Bentos pie and ruined his dinner, and it caused tension with his wife.
Why couldn't he open it? Just it was
because the tin opener in the 1970s one he had, you know, when they were just a bit of metal tiny, wouldn't work on this Fray Bentos, which was tougher than, you know, the normal tins. So he couldn't get his pie, and it caused tension with his wife. I've got a clip, obviously. I filmed it. Put it on YouTube. Along with a few of my other favourites. I love that show.
So what was what was his wife's problem? Is it just that he's getting so stressed? She's getting anxious from hearing him banging away in the kitchen, hitting the Fray Bentos pie off all the surfaces.
That entire salmon.
He couldn't get in, so they didn't have a pie. They had to do something else. And it was just a picture of him at the end of the piece, standing in the background, blurry, and the pie in the foreground, sharp focus.
Right, his nemesis. Sad.
Do you cook a Fray Bentos and then open it?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I've never dealt with those kind of foods.
Because I can imagine that being particularly annoying. If you've got it cooked and it's right there and you can't get in.
People are coming to Northampton. Everyone's on their way.
Yeah, you promised them a pie.
You have to cancel them again.
This might have been what was happening with the salmon. She was so mortified. Something's gone wrong.
Bentos salmon.
Oh no, it's stuck in the tin.
I think what you have to do, Anonymous, is send it back. I mean, you can literally just say, look, give me the £200, or you can go petty and you can send it back in some way compromised. You can either tell them about how you've compromised it, or you can leave it for them to find out. But I think
my brain's gone are you thinking they've stuck it up their ass?
Compromised in some way. Wink, wink.
I was thinking a bit at a time, but sure.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's really good.
Put it up your ass a bit. Well, you can't, you can't go all in.
You can't go. And Tom, of course, you're the expert on this.
That would be a great trick if you put it in your bum and then tried to open a can. And then sent the video to them after they'd received it.
Oh, no, I went in from the side.
Like a bit
like the Twin Peaks kind of cherry stalk thing, but like... You very seductively put a can in a can, open up your arse and then fart it out and it's open.
To sort of jazzy music.
Oh, that is the worst tuna bake I've ever had.
The salmon's cooked, everyone.
I'll open your Fray Bentos pie, mate. You're not going to like it.
But no, I was thinking like you file down the teeth of it or something, or you just that's a good idea, Clarky. You break it apart into four or five component parts and say you can have the can opener back and send it. You know, you get
send you know, it like, each week like a different it's, like a
exactly.
Card.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd come and take all my stuff. That's what I'd do.
In exchange, yeah.
I'd turn up in a van. I'd get removal guys. And I'd say go and take. All the 200 quid stuff I bought.
Is that legal?
Stick it in your van. Yeah, because it's mine. I bought it. I've got the receipt.
Fair enough.
And then I'd leave in the middle of the room. The can opener.
Yeah.
But the sofa's gone. The lamp's gone.
I get the removal guys to carry in the can opener. Two of them.
Two like, men.
One holding each end.
Moving really weirdly.
Yeah.
Shuffling
along. Laying it on the doorstep saying, sorry, we're not allowed to take it in the house anymore, COVID. You have to sort it out from there.
You can say, look, you can have the can opener, but I am taking all my other stuff that I paid for and I've got the receipt for it.
Yeah, don't just say, give us 200 quid. Say, I'm taking the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the bigger inconvenience, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And they brought it on themselves by asking for a can opener.
Or shove it up your ass. Either way, everybody wins.
Well, that as well.
You've got to have a little bit of vengeance in there as well.
Have a little pleasure.
Absolutely. Stick up your ass, twist it a few times, fire it out through their door, through their letterbox.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
I think solved in several ways, many ways.
From sorting like a beef solved.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is from Mark Gull Beef. And he sent us an email. Gull. Yeah, G-U-L-L. Right. Beef. Via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters of the beef. My beef is with the people of my neighbourhood. 4 years ago, I moved into a house in a suburban area of Dublin. My house faces onto a green. He doesn't say a green what? The problem is that lots of people in the area throw their food waste out onto the green. So we have a plague of seagulls that hang out there all day long. Every morning I get woken up by the screeching of seagulls. Dublin City Council have put letters through everybody's doors asking people to stop because it's also causing a rat problem. But this doesn't seem to dissuade people. I've yet to encounter any rats, thankfully. Is there anything I can do to solve this issue? Cheers, Mark.
I've got a really boring answer to that because I work at the council.
Yes, go on. Give us your boring council answer.
Well, see, I know from experience that the letter that you send is just a first approach.
Right.
So they need to let the council know the first approach is not having impact, and then they need to issue a notice under a certain legislation to cease and desist that under public health legislation.
And it's a cease and desist.
If they continue to do it, they'll get fined. So
it's a cease and desist
wanna...
to the neighbours or to the seagulls?
To the seagulls. Yeah, yeah. Don't tend to play ball. That's another thing, actually. I get people phoning in and go, the seagulls, they're swooping me. Okay. And you think I can speak to them any better than you? Or whatever the noise they make. But
that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I quite like the noise. It's just a personal thing. I live near the sea. I like the noise.
Yeah, it reminds me of the seaside, so I always quite like it. So.
Just pretend you're at the seaside. Get a bucket, get a spade, get into it.
I mean, the gulls... I can't quite get my head around these people in Dublin who are just lobbing food onto the grass.
Yeah, I mean, that is mad.
What's wrong with them?
Why do you not have a bin?
It feels like it's like 1970s. I've got like an image of like, it's like the Commitments or something where there's like a fucking Shire horse in the lift or some shit. It's like, stop throwing food into the street, everyone. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, I'm not sure. I need to know why they're doing this.
Yeah, have they not got a composting waste plan? Have they not got like that going on? Does the council have to step that up as well? Get some brown bins on the streets.
We need to look into this on several council departmental levels. Tell them to drop me an email. Even though I don't work at that council, I can have a look.
Yeah, you sort of speak for most councils, don't you?
What's going on?
You're the council whisperer.
I am. I'm every council person, every woman.
Worst one woman show ever.
So tedious.
The one woman council show.
Just send them a letter and then do a notice. That's just basically my shtick.
So that is,
Christina Martin is Jackie Weaver, the musical.
But I have authority, that's a diff. Actually, I don't. I don't have any authority. I only have Section 46 authority to enter a house where nobody lives. So that's the worst authority I think there ever is. There's no one there to say you can't go in, but you've got a little badge to wave.
Just the spirits getting angry at you. That's all it is.
Let me in, ghost of that person.
I'm going to stick a can opener on the carpet and leave.
Authority.
I've got a suggestion that's non-council based.
Okay.
Go on.
Good, we need everything.
Is it stick a can opener up your arse, Tom?
It always is.
Just to fortify yourself at the start of the day before we begin this process. Lovely. Get the can opener up there. You feel like a new person.
Helps you think.
Tom's like a very low rent cyborg, aren't you?
Tuning yourself up in my USB port, as I call it.
The Tinminator.
Yes.
I need your gun, your shoes. That's up my ass.
Can of juice.
And some Brimitos.
And some Campbell's tomato soup. This food waste that's going on to the green, right? I'm not picturing... In my head, I'm thinking tea bags. I'm thinking maybe the odd crust. So what I think you might need to do is draw the seagulls to a different place, because it's the noise of the seagulls that's bothering you, isn't it? So how about for like 3 weeks or something, you go to a different area of Dublin, an adjacent area,
and dump
some, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah. Chicken carcasses.
Get the fucking good stuff out there, exactly.
Do you like chicken in The Walking Dead, when they would put the thing over with the zombie blood on, put a thing over you with chickens and donuts.
And just guide them up Pied Piper style,
Walk through the streets.
Chicken and donut, man, yeah.
You look like a sort of really awful version of The Masked Singer. Just cover yourself.
It's food waste, man.
Yeah, just cover yourself with a variety of food waste and
Who
walk
is
through the
chicken
city.
Chicken and donuts. Yes, on The Masked Singer.
Feed the bear, Italy from Blue.
Chicken and donuts, man.
So I think that might be a way to go, is you make another area of Dublin more appealing to the gulls, and then they'll forget all about this kind of scraps that they're getting.
Yeah.
That's it. They're very much like they go for the good stuff. That the ones in Bexhill hang around outside the fish shop, the chip shop, and they stand there and they look at the menu almost like they're looking out the window. Taking photos where it looks like they're going, scampi.
Oh, good. It's Celiac Wednesdays.
Excellent. I am allergic, imagine, so I need this.
You're at the counter and you're like, and then I'll have a, and you're like, battered sausage. Oh, yeah, battered sausage. And you're just this little gull with spring in your ear. I'm about a sausage.
They keep swooping at me. The other thing you could do is, you know, the way that, like, in the Apple factory, the factory they make iPhones rather than the grocers, they because they were getting people jumping out the windows, they just put nets outside the windows rather than sort of making the working conditions better. Could you just put, like, basically nets outside your windows that springs the rubbish back in, that will stop people from being such grubby bastards and chucking there? Have you not got a bin in your house? Have you not?
I'm fascinated by it. And what about a net that springs the goals back up into the sky?
Just make everything bouncy in your area.
Yeah,
just keep, big trampoline park. You know how you keep, like with toddlers, you keep putting them on the naughty step, take them back to the naughty step, like the super nanny says, just keep walking them back to the naughty step. Every time someone throws something out, take the day off work and just knock on the door, throw it back in their face. And every time, just keep, until they're like conditioned. Like
with a little handful of seagull shit as well. Yes. Just flat, you know, there's a little bit of interest.
Yes. Or release a gull into their face. And that will condition them gradually.
Everybody has to have a gull in the house for a day.
Yes, you live with the gull. You brought it here. Yeah. It's yours now.
It's like wife swap, but you've just got to live got to have a gull in your house.
Can we
deal
film
with it.
This? Let's do this.
Now that's a TV program I'd watch.
This is everyone can join me in this weird genre of television.
I love it. I think, I mean, you know what, Mark? If there isn't a solution amongst those four different solutions, then we can't help you, really. We can't help you. Beef solved.
Hey!
From the sorting out your beef solved!
So, I was thinking about this all afternoon because I managed to eliminate all my beefs by just leaving town.
That could be the scorched earth policy.
Yeah,
the burnt bridges.
If you ever have trouble in a future episode, just remember me. You know, just leave town. That's usually effective. Because I lived in a terrace block of four with one woman who used to be on her hands and knees on my front lawn picking the weeds with her fingers, and then would get up when I came home from work and go to me, "I'm just dealing with the weeds." And then in the second one along, I had a man who used to sing, you know, the slave owning side of the Civil War in America.
Oh yeah.
Confederate side. He used to sing their battle cry song really loudly all day. And was clearly quite a bit racist because he was like, I'm not saying people who are like Tories are all racist, but he was very Tory. He was like leafleting for them and Dominic Raab. He cut a tree down in his back garden and put in its place one of those poles for the Conservatives with Dominic Raab flag on it. I was like, oh, it's so symbolic. And then he had a giant Vote Leave 4-foot by 4-foot thing that he nailed to my fence. So I had to go out under cover of darkness with the claw end of a hammer, claw it off. So no one thought it was me. And then on the other side, I had a woman who dug up my garden and threw all my plants away. So I stitched town. I didn't have
You were right to, man.
How do you solve any of those beefs? They're just so far gone. They're nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's not a dispute. It's just great. No. So I was trying to think of beefs. And also with my job, I'm so close to death that nothing seems that important in life. So I'm very zen now. I'm like, yeah. So I'm sitting near a beef at work that, you know, I'm not involved in, but maybe you could solve it and I could be like the UN peacekeeper and say what I heard about.
Right.
I can't bring myself to care, about this beef, but it's in my daily landscape. There's someone who, there's a coffee station outside my office, which is completely against health and safety because it's my fire escape. So it's full of combustibles, which is good. And that's austerity for you, isn't it? We've got to move them from a real office into an attic area with the Christmas decorations and combustibles in their fire escape. Great. So, and we still have more cuts to make.
They're just going to board you in eventually, aren't they?
What are these fireworks for us, Leah?
Yeah, just hopefully they'll all die in a fire and we won't have to pay them. So in the coffee area, there's like a biscuit tin that says Tea Club members only with the biscuits in. So no one touches those unless they're in Tea Club. I'm not in Tea Club. I've spent my whole adult life trying not to get involved in tea funds, and I've been effective at it so far. I've never been in tea rounds or tea funds, and I was so delighted when COVID made a tea round illegal. I could go and get my own tea. So I can't get yours. It's not right in COVID times. Anyway.
I'm the same as you. I don't I don't really like making tea and coffee for other people. I don't really want other people making tea and coffee for me.
No. I don't want their dirty hands on my cup.
We basically don't eat, like, my wife and I don't make hot drinks for each other. We basically just make our own hot drinks when we want them.
That is an excellent system.
And it sort of works out fine. And it's not, you know, like, I will often offer, and I'll bring her a cup of coffee in the morning, you know, but that's the only one I'm doing that day.
That's the big one, though. That's a huge one.
You can't muck coffee up too much, can you? Because unlike tea, where it's like different gradations of colour.
I hate it. If someone asks me to make them a cup of tea, I go to pieces. I hate it. I hate it. Especially if it's a tradesman as well. I don't know why.
It's their thing. They see tea so often. They're judging you.
Yeah. And you just go, I'm going to get this wrong.
Yeah.
You know, actually, the handyman was round a couple of days ago and his order is black coffee, 3 sugars. And it's like, fine, I can do that.
I love you.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Don't even have to work out the milk, like, colourings.
No, don't have to worry about that. Black coffee, 3 sugars. Anyone can do that. That's perfect. That's easy. But when it's like you make a tea and then and also, you know, because when you pick up the tea afterwards and most of it's still there, you go,
They're displeased.
It's like, especially when you're in an office, going to make a cup of tea is part of the, that's part of the reason you're doing it.
It's part of the break.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, that's the whole thing. You go away, you wait, you know, it's all that. It's not,
you
it's a nice
chat.
Thing to do. When you're robbed of that by someone going, oh, I'll get you your tea, then it's like, well, now I've got to sit here.
Yeah, I'm sitting at my desk. Still working.
Stand in a space.
Substandard tea coming to me.
Yeah.
The only thing I can do now is have a poo. That's the next thing. I love having a poo at work, getting paid for it. You know, like, I don't bother pooing at home. Don't ever poo in your own time if you can avoid it, obviously. You have to sometimes. Physically impossible not to.
It's never like 7 o'clock at night where you're like, no, I'm saving this one until I get into the office tomorrow morning.
I'm going to go midnight.
I think the buses are still running, yeah.
Very dedicated, that one. Very dedicated. She's always here in the evenings.
But yeah.
The other night, she went for a curry and she was here for 2 days. Incredible commitment. Straight
she's
from
literally
the curry
burning
house.
The candle at both ends.
Burning. The operative word.
In other news, the toilet's blocked with a can opener, so we haven't found out who the culprit is.
That'd be an all-staff email, wouldn't it? Pass out all-staff email, that one. The person who has parked their car. And usually they know who it is. It's like, just speak to them. It's someone at our office who uses all-staff email to basically address Mandy, and it's like, just tell Mandy. But anyway.
Just fire Mandy. No one likes her. Get rid of her.
Just front her out. So the tea club is usually quite a peaceful affair, but they've come to a bit of blows because there's a sugar, you know, the big sugars you can get, like industrial, you know, tubs. So you got industrial coffee, industrial tea, industrial sugars. And someone has been taking their coffee granules, putting the water in, having a little stir, and then putting the sugar in with a wet teaspoon.
Creating lumps.
Clumping.
Yeah,
can't do that.
Distress. All sorts of terrible things have been arising, but yeah, it's traumatic. And so the person is known, and once again, this is the whole using a search hammer to crack a nut, just go up to them, tell them. But the person is known, but they've been trying to sort of do it through email. You know, could everyone please put their sugar in first? And then they made a laminated sign.
Laminate it, of course.
Laminate it. That shows you mean it. You know, this is waterproof. This is time proof. This is forever. And so that, but it continues. This person, clearly their method is, no, I want to get my coffee right and stir it and get it all, you know, get the coffee granules dealt with.
Yeah.
And then I want to select my sugar. And they just continue to do it. And it is a constant source of just ever so slightly tense.
I feel like I get this, and I think, excuse me, I feel like
I
get this.
You, I can see.
It's really, yeah, it's got, it's actually.
I'm sorry I brought this because it's
I've
really
got,
like.
I've got a sugar lump in my throat actually at the moment.
terrible things.
But yeah, I feel like I understand this beef. It is a problem, but there's a simple solution. And I think if you've got the industrial sized sugar tub, What you need is, you know, like when you go to the bank and there is a pen on a chain, spoon on a chain that is attached to the side of the tub, right? And that is the sugar spoon. It always goes in there. And you can't, yes. Right, what will end up happening is people will want to stir with it,
yes.
Right? But
they'll be frustrated.
You've got to make it. You've got to make the chain short enough, right?
That
you can just scoop out. You can scoop it out. You can move it along. You can turn it over to dispense the sugar into the cup, but you can't then get the. You can't get it over the edge of the lip of the thing to get it in.
And you can't be using cups with liquid in because you need to tip the cup slightly to meet the sugar spoon.
Yeah.
So that eliminates people trying to get around the system by doing it with a full cup.
You've got a one spoon that is only the sugar spoon, and it's always there, and it's permanently attached. And I feel like that could solve the problem. So you've got to go in
sugar cubes.
I mean, yeah, that's the other thing as well. Those little sachets.
My suggestion was going to be like a sugar dispenser. So
with optics in a pub, like
an optic, like one of those jars, and you have it on the side, and then. So there's no spoon involved at all.
We've taken out the entire spoon controversy there.
Yeah. And what you do there is, as well, is you're also buying yourself some, it's a limited space. You know, we're trying to save on all the space we can.
We want to be able to escape through this area at some point.
Exactly. So, you know, you're wall mounting this sugar.
Yeah. You know, like in a, so you're talking about like in a hotel when you get like a bell jar full of cornflakes and you turn a little dial on the front and you crush all the cornflakes into a powder.
Yeah. And then it disappears. Yeah.
Like that. But which doesn't matter with sugar, does it?
No, so
yeah,
you
just,
anyway.
Just turn it like one turn of the dial.
That's the main source.
You turn it. One turn of the dial is a spoon of sugar. It's a good system, Tom. I really like it.
Yeah.
I think everything you said is all possible, and I don't know how this person who's spent time actually laminating something hasn't thought about these things before getting to a laminator.
Wasting time with the laminator.
Yeah, you've moved on to the laminator before you even considered cubes or spoon on chain.
I think it's got to happen. Do you think, Christina, do you think you care enough about this to implement the chain yourself? Or are
it's
you just
difficult.
Gonna...
It's difficult because I care very little about much.
Yeah, I know.
And it's whether
if it doesn't start with bid and end with TV, then you're not that bothered about it.
They need to get Peter Simon involved, don't they? Or Gloria Hunniford off Rip Off Britain. And then I'll listen. But yeah, I'm kind of enjoying the mini drama because, you know, it gives you something in the grey open plan.
It's soap opera, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a kitchen sink drama.
Is it you? Are you doing it just to create a bit of fun in the workplace?
Don't even drink the coffee, just lick the spoon.
It's the Kaiser Soze ending we all wanted. And just like that, she did it again. She made her coffee and laughed. I quite like the lumps, though, the brown lumps. They've got a sort of flavour to them. You can eat them. Because my nan used to do that. My nan had a silver... You remember some nans had silver coffee and tea and sugar? It might just be my nan.
Yeah, no, I do. Nans. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
70s
yeah.
70s silver...
You get them at the church coffee morning as well.
Thank
Very
you.
Much
yeah.
that kind of thing, yeah.
She'd
yeah.
obviously nicked that from the church coffee morning because she was a church person. And she always had lumpy lumps in there and I would eat them because they taste sort of... It's a caramelly from the coffee.
Yeah, because they've got a little bit of coffee in them or a little bit of tea, but they're effectively just like a big sugary sweet.
Like a little sweetie. So, exactly. To be honest, turn that frown upside down. Yeah. That coffee lump.
Appreciate what you got.
Enjoy yourself. I mean, you've been gifted something. You're alive. You've got coffee lumps.
You won't be for that long if you eat that much.
It hasn't happened yet.
If you eat that much sugar, you won't be alive for that long. But
when it does, we'll all die.
Right, be solved.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, Christina, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. It's been really,
it's been
really
fun.
Now, you've written a book.
Yes. How has that happened?
So cool.
Do you want to tell us about this?
I don't know how I did that because, as you know, all I ever did was a bit of stand-up and a bit of short-form in Viz and stuff. Well, I'm in Viz this month coming as well.
Oh, amazing.
Captain Tom article based on that weird Metro News exclusive. They called it an exclusive. Captain Tom would have been delighted to celebrate the Jubilee. I was like, that is exclusive.
Yeah. So, if he's spoken to that medium that Mark's been using.
Captain Tom
And apparently
pissed
he's
off.
Doing fine.
Yeah.
He's cooked a salmon.
Yeah, he's cooked a salmon. He's done some coronation chicken. Everyone's invited.
So I said to Viz, would you like a Captain Tom news column? And they went, that sounds in very poor taste. Yes, please. So a quick Google shows that his daughter's been going around saying he'd be delighted and happy and, you know, all sorts of things about all sorts of things, you know, prospectively. So I've written that. But yeah, somehow I've written a book. It's just sort of happened over a couple of years. It's based on my job doing funerals for people without family or without money. And it's based like case by case. So it's a bit like, you know, this is going to hurt. His was diary form, though. Diaries of a junior doctor. It's more novel-like because it's chapters, but it's the same principle. It's just taking you through the job. But also, it can't help but get a bit sort of existential and talk about death, talk about life, talk about everything. But I try and keep it light. Everyone who's read it so far and given a quote for it has said it's poignant but funny. And that's what I wanted to
do. And are you putting
do.
Those words into their mouth? Or?
Yeah. I said that. You have to say that for your quote, and then they did.
If you want to end up on the jacket, it's poignant and funny.
Because the only other Paul quote I've got is keep tweeting from Peter Simon. So.
Well, I'm putting that on, obviously.
Of course, that's not the front and centre. Yeah.
As well,
this book is blocked.
Will you be able to? Will you be able to send BID TV copies of the book?
Oh my
God.
Viewer, this is a gift of a buy.
It's funny. It's poignant.
It's excellent.
So you've got a nom de plume, is that right?
I do. I don't mind people knowing it's me, obviously, because I'm admitting to it on your podcast. But I kind of wanted to not make it about me, because it's just sort of, there's so many of me around the country doing this job quietly behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it's not about me, and it's about the job and the stories and the fact of the matter and letting people know that you don't ever really die alone. I mean, we all die alone. Some of us just have people looking, but we ultimately are always caught by someone if we can't be looked after by someone else. That's why I always say, when I'm talking to anyone who's got family, I always say we'll take them into our care later today when we collect the body, because I don't want to talk about a body. I want to say we'll take them into our care. And then they always say, they mirror it back to you later, because they'll go, thanks for looking after them. And that's what you want people to feel. It's hopefully not too depressing a topic, because I try and
it sounds very life affirming.
Yeah. I'm hoping to put people off this idea that your funeral's a scorecard, you know, because everyone always goes, oh, how sad. And it's like, no, not at all. Because like one of my people, they were 99 and they had ice cream for lunch every day. And they were a legend. Everyone who knew them was like, oh, they were mad. Like they used to eat their breakfast at the care home they had half a melon and they would just shove it into their face and just gnaw it. And the nurses were like, they were just amazing. They do anything they want, they'd do. It just so happened that they were 99 and they outlived everyone.
Yeah,
so it's not
of course.
A sad thing that they've got no one at the funeral. In fact, if you've got a lot of people at your funeral, it probably means you died quite young.
Yeah,
so that's probably not what you want. You want, you know, an unattended. But yeah, just to say to people, it's not like any kind of judgment call on you if you have to have this kind of funeral or any quiet sort of low-key affair. It's, you lived a life, whether or not anyone remembers or was there to see it, you saw it and you lived it. So
amazing.
Yes, that's what I'm going to put across.
What's the book called and where can people find it?
Well, you know, I'm still wrestling with the title, working title when I was pitching it, because at the moment it's going out in March 2023.
Oh right.
We're all sort of trying to decide on a title. At the moment, I've called it Dying Moments, and then the subheading is The Caseload of a Council Funeral Officer. But we're trying to make it a bit more punchy in the top line, so I'm thinking either Ashes to Admin or something like
that's
that.
That's really good,
you know? Something that just gets you, because that's what you want. You want the top line is always sort of wordplay, and the second line is usually what it is. So I'm reading a book at the moment called Stiff, and then the second line is the history of human cadavers, you know, so it just gives you that punch, and then what is it? So
I'm reading a book called Stiff as well, but it's got a slightly different
not so much a book, more of a magazine, isn't it? Yeah.
it's a glossy one.
It has been laminated, yeah.
there are some words it's being very violently laminated on a daily basis. The laminator, that's what he calls himself.
The laminator's alive.
The preserver.
Whenever anyone in the office goes towards the laminator, I have to sing it like the gladiators. When they turn it on, oh, lemonade. It's just my little bit of fun.
Well, so people know that at least the guy dipping the sugar in the spoon in the sugar is the second most annoying thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll always be the headliner, maybe. But yeah, if you want to find out about my book, keep in touch about it. I'm on Twitter at Evie King Writes. So Evie, the name, King Writes, the word Writes.
We'll
so.
Put that in the show notes of the of this episode, cool. So people can find you there.
Thank you,
Christina. It's been so fun having you on the pod. Really
yeah,
excited
it's like
to
the old days.
Yeah, it really
guys.
Is, isn't yeah. it?
it makes you feel young again.
It's looking at how old we got. Well, at least I age better than them.
It's like all that lovely Garnier.
That's what it is. But yeah, well, you know, come back in a year's time and when the book's out and tell us more
sure.
about it. Totally. See you very soon.
Thank you for having me, guys. Take care.
Beer from the sorting out your beef.
Goodbye, listener dear. I'm Tom.
Oh, you're doing it that way, are you? You're recording the outro. I'm Matthew, and you've just listened.
That was our pod.
Yeah, you've just listened to Pappy's Flatshare, Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with the brilliant Christina Martin. If you want to find her on Twitter, she's absolutely fantastic over on Twitter. Obviously, follow Evie King Writes as well, her other Twitter account. Which is all about her book. I'm excited to read it. I can't, you know, it's a year away. It's like, this is what happens though, isn't it? You know, the world of publishing, like the world of filmmaking, like when you know, it's, yeah. like, it's like your movie, Tom, when you're like, oh, I'm making this Christmas movie. I was like, great, I can't wait for December. And you're like, oh no, it's December next year.
So 2029.
They've had second thoughts about the film. It keeps getting pushed back. But no, yeah, it's so yeah, March of next year, the book is coming out. But as soon as we know all about pre-orders and that kind of stuff, we will stick the details on the pod so you can grab yourself a copy, because it sounds like a fascinating read. It's just, I just think she has a really interesting life. I think it's one of those, you know, just one of those people who, obviously, a superb stand-up. I loved gigging with Christina. I always thought she was brilliant. Yeah, she's absolutely one of my favourites. Really funny writing for Viz, but also this amazing, like, other life that she's just, she just inhabits, and other lives, other people's lives that she inhabits.
Totally.
It's a fascinating story, and I can't wait to read more about it. So thanks to Christina, and thanks to you for listening. Don't forget the Patreon. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars, I think, is the order of the day.
Yes.
Great. That would be ideal.
And also, don't forget your PIN number, else you won't be able to.
Don't forget your PIN number. Don't forget your phone number as well.
Don't forget. Remember all your vital numbers.
Don't forget.
But guys, throw away your receipts and keep your love letters. Today's episode was produced by
Baz Luhrmann, apparently.
It was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution
team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Sunscreen.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.